Today, men and members take responsibilities and roles that press very close to the divine role of the Holy Spirit, who is the only ruler and the only administrator of this church. There is but one vicar upon the earth, and that is the Holy Spirit. The word vicar means in the place of. And he is the only person on earth in the place of Jesus Christ, and it's not the Pope in Rome. Somebody said, are you praying for the Pope? I can't pray for the Pope because he's blasphemed the Holy Ghost and says he's the Holy Ghost on earth in Christ's place. Therefore, there's no hope for him. There's no hope in the Pope. There's no hope for the Pope because he's a lost individual and he's blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Now, folks, we're on serious ground. The only person on earth to be the vicar of Christ is the blessed Holy Spirit. But then when Christ entered into this ministry on high, we're told at least 10 times in the Holy Scripture that he sat down at the right hand of God. Therefore, heaven is his official seat until he returns in power and great glory. Until then, he has commissioned the Holy Spirit to rule and to administrate his church, the temple of the living God. And until he returns and claims his bride, there is on earth but one, quote, unquote, holy see, and that is the seat of the Holy One in the church, which only the Spirit of God can occupy without practicing blasphemy. Period. This is his sacred and holy place. This is his rightful place. This is the place God the Father has sent him to represent his dear son, to do a job for him. This is his sacred and holy place. And the Holy Spirit cries unto the churches, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has saith unto the churches. Our decision, then we must have a sanctified, in making our decisions, we must have sanctified prayers, earnestly seeking God and His will by prayer and fasting in the Holy Ghost. And not because of our personal likes or our dislikes or our preferences or our own selfish desires, but may it be the same declaration as the New Testament church had when it had its council. It seemed good unto the Holy Ghost and to us. Acts 15:28. It seems good unto the Holy Ghost. Why? Because they were in tune with the Holy Ghost. He was the chief administrator. He was calling the shots, and they knew what he wanted, and they just agreed with him. Oh, how far we have fallen. So with a sensitive, sanctified mind and spirit, let's examine the role of the vicar of Christ, the chief executive, the CEO of Tabernacle Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Let's see what his job is and see how we as a people are doing. And I think there's much fear and reverence as I enter into this. I don't claim to know everything there is to know about the Holy Spirit, and I don't have all the answers within myself. But and the more I study, the more I realize that I am just scratching the top of the surface. But oh, how the truth burns within my soul. How the hunger is in my soul that I might know Him in His fullness and in His power, and that our church might march victorious in victory and not in defeat. That we might not be sluggish and discouraged and despondent, but that we might be full of the Godhead body and have His power and His blessing and His authority. Yeah. I have not begun to scratch the surface. But oh, listen, I'm hungry this morning. If you're not hungry, there's something that has robbed you of your appetite. If you're not thirsty, there's something that's robbed you of your appetite. If you don't want more and more and more of God and more of the blessed Spirit of God, my friends, there's something that has come into your life and has robbed you of that blessed desire and that blessed hunger and thirst. Check out this morning. This morning I want us to see Him as the administrator of this church. You see, at Pentecost, they were not in the upper room praying for the Holy Spirit to come. He had been promised by the Father that He was going to come. And if He had not come, then the Father's promise would be no avail. But they were up there praying, not for His person to come, but for His power to come, that they might be able to carry out the job and the work of the church through His power. And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. The reason we don't witness is because we're not surrendered, we're not submitted, we're disobedient, and we're living in sin. Amen. It's not important to us. There are 90 references in the Old Testament concerning the Holy Spirit. There are 264 references in the New Testament concerning the Holy Spirit. Over 354 different names given Him in the Scriptures. And at Pentecost, He came. They were there assembled, the Bible says in Acts 1:4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. And when the promise of the Father came, they not only was baptized into the body of Christ, but my friends, I want you to know that they received His power to carry out the work and perform the work that God wanted done through His blessed Holy Spirit. And the job that He wanted done is left up to us to do through His power. At Pentecost, He made His residence in the church. He dwells in this body. He's not in this building, but He is in this local New Testament assembly. He not only resides here, but He's the president over this assembly. He's the president over our life. He is the administrator, the vicar in the place of Jesus Christ. He is in my temple, and this is His habitat. And He carries out His work through us. He has taken the place of Christ on earth. His job is to reprove the world and of righteousness and of sin and of judgment. No one else can do that. No catastrophe, no tragedy, no story, nothing else can implement and convince men of sin and of righteousness and of judgment except the Holy Spirit. Amen. Don't say, oh, I think that him having a heart attack ought to turn into the Lord. It won't turn into the Lord unless the Holy Spirit does it. Regenerating of sinners. His job is to regenerate sinners. Indwells every believer. Seal every believer. Witness to the believer as to their experience. Romans 8:16, and the Spirit itself beareth witness that with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. As to the service, He reveals Christ as Christ revealed the Father. I said He's the executive head. He's the vicar of the church, the administrator of the affairs of the church. Listen to this. Acts 13:2-4. And Acts 15:28, as they ministered the church at Antioch to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, if the Holy Spirit spoke to some of us, we'd drop dead with a heart attack. But the Holy Spirit said, He gave direction, He gave instruction, He gave guidance to the New Testament church, and He still does. The Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. They weren't called because they were influential members of the church and had a good bank account and everybody thought that they were great. They were called because the Holy Ghost called them, so chose them and selected them and pointed them out to do a job for Him. Verse 4 says, and they being sent by the Holy Ghost departed. Who sent them out? The Holy Ghost did. They didn't have to raise deputation. The Holy Ghost sent them out. And I'm not opposed to that. But He's the power through which all of the work is done, is what I want you to say. Through the church, any work done in the energy of the flesh is blasphemy, wood, hay, and stubble. Acts 15:28 says, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than was necessary, than these necessary things. He put every man and woman and boy and girl into the body of Christ. into the church. He is in charge. He is in control. He's working supernaturally. He has all the power of the Godhead. He's superintending all the actions and the attitude. He gives gifts unto men to do what He wants done in His church. He gives them a divine enablement, a power, an anointing to do His work within the local church. Think of it. We're the redeemed church of the living God. We have all the power of the Godhead within us. We have all the authority and all the power of heaven at our disposal and as our resource, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us. And I want to say the greatest tragedy in your life and the greatest tragedy in my life would be for us to have go through life and not have the fullness of His power. Never experience His fullness. Never know what it was to have His power and His presence in our life. Never know what it was to walk with Him and talk with Him and to fellowship with Him. Never know what it was for Him to open the Scriptures unto us and our heart to burn within us. One of the greatest tragedies of my life would be that it might have been. If I had only allowed Him resource and right away in my life. You see, when the Holy Spirit is doing the work in the church, then Christ is glorified. For He shall not speak of Himself, but He shall testify of me. And it's through the body of the local church men see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. That word glorify means get the proper opinion of the nature and the character of God. And whenever people sees your attitude, sees the way you talk, sees your negative attitude or your positive attitude, or see the way you build up a brother, or see what your opinions and your spirit, they say that's the way God is. Because the Spirit manifests God and shows the Father and shows the Son through His life, through the body of the local church, and through your body and my body. So, when the Spirit is doing the work, Christ is manifest. He's the oil. You see, the church is not an organization. The church is an organism. An organization is man-made. An organism is spirit-made. The oil of the organism, the life of the organism. You know what the breath of this church is? The Holy Spirit. He's the breath. And if we don't have His breath moving and breathing in this church, then we are a corpse. We're dead. We are dead. My friends, He's the breath of the body. And there's no breath, there's no life. And He makes everything run smoothly. He's the life that causes organism to live and breathe and move and have its being. That's what happened in 1992. He accomplished more in 30 seconds than I have accomplished in 30 years. Oh, what He could not do if we would allow Him to be the administrator, the vicar, the CEO of Tabernacle Baptist Church. I've got news for you. I don't know how long I will preach on this ministry of the Holy Spirit, but I've got about 40 years of catching up to do. And I have wept because I feel I have failed Him so miserably and tried to do so much in the energy of the flesh, in my own intellectual wisdom and my own abilities. He is available. He is all wisdom. He is all power. He is kind. He is tender. He is gentle. He is loving. He is patient. He is long-suffering. And let me say it reverently, He knows how to get the job done. Without any complaining, without any bickering, without any backbiting, without any gossiping, without any tattling, without any territorial battles or turf battles. This is mine, this is yours. No. What can I do to make it easier on you? How can I help you? How can this hand help the whole body? How can this eye help the whole body? How can we help one another work together in unison, work together to strive and to keep the unity of the Spirit of God so that we can glorify Christ and men might see God in us, the hope of glory. How can we do that? The Spirit of the Holy Spirit is what we need. How can I make it easier? And then there is such a job and joy in serving Jesus. So he is active in the world today through his church. Now what does he do as the vicar of Christ? Well, I'll tell you what he does. He's like Eliezer of old. Eliezer of old went to a far country to get a bride for his master Isaac, and he chose a bride, and the bride was Rebecca, and he brought that bride back to his master. And you know how he won her heart? He won her at the well of water where she was watering camels. You know how the Holy Spirit wins us? By the water of the Word. And you know what he does? He shows us the beauty and the joy of his master. He shows us all of the wealth of his master so that we'll fall deeper in love with the Lord Jesus, and he'll take us back to the master's house. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's calling out a bride. Hey! I remember back in 1957, one Saturday night on the left hand end of the couch on a newly waxed floor, the blessed Holy Ghost came and said down through the quarters of time, "Run, Bell! The Master hath need of thee. Run up the white flag of surrender, son. I'm going to take it to the Master's house." Folks, I want you to know it's as real to me as anything in my soul that he arrested me. He gave me peace and joy, gave me a purpose in life, and told me, "I want you to help me to carry out the greatest work and the greatest job that has ever been given to mankind. Go tell it, son, go tell it, go tell it." And oh, how I have failed him. I have fallen so short. Oh, listen. He's calling out a bride. He convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He converts the sinner. He baptizes him into the body of Christ, births him into the family of God, endues him with every believer, indwells him, gives him as a gift to the church. He speaks to him. He prays for him. He teaches him. He guides him. He forbids him. He performs miracles for him. He calls him into the ministry. He sets pastors over churches. He commands. He oversees. He testifies. He intercedes. He cries. He leads. He gives gifts unto men. He comforts them. He gives wisdom. He gives discernment. He gives he gives understanding, long suffering, and patience and power. He's the vicar of Christ upon earth. He's the chief administrator of Tabernacle Baptist Church. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell him on you. I'm going to tell him those people that have gifts, Lord, and those people that have talents and abilities, they're not using them for you, Lord. Make yourself real to them and help them to fall deep in love with the Lord Jesus, that they might be faithful, that they might serve you because they love you. He has many members in his body, in his church, and each one has a special gift. I believe you have a predominant gift. I think you may be able to have more than one. But I believe that God's given you a predominant gift. And he only has two officers. There's no such thing as archbishops and all this mess. Listen. He only has two offices in his church. One's to rule and the other's to serve. He calls the pastor to rule over. The pastor is to rule. And he'll give an account to the church. That's the thing that's been burned into my soul. He's the administrator. And he said, "I put you over this church to rule this church as a shepherd rules his flock. Tenderly." Deacons don't rule. Deacons are servants. Deacons are servants. And oh, what a position to be a servant, to be a foot washer, and to serve the Lord, because the pastor will give an account for the church. What about each member of this church? What is your relationship to the Spirit? And what is your relationship to the church? Well, let me give you two or three of them, and I'm going to close. I haven't even got to my sermon yet. Every believer, number one, every believer is born of the Spirit. John 3. Says Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into his mother's womb?" Jesus said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water," that's the first birth, "and of the Spirit," that's the second birth, "he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh," that's the first birth, "is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit."
That's the second birth. Marvin Knight was saying, you must be born again. Your first physical birth is not enough. You must be born again. Comes unto the Father, except what? The Spirit draws him. I can't draw people. I can't convince people. I can't argue with people. I can't. Hey, listen, it would do no good if I did. It's the Holy Spirit's job. He draws men. John 6:37 says, and he that cometh to me, I'll no wise cast out. So the Spirit abides and resides and sets up His office in our life. And He is the CEO, the executive officer, the administrator of our life and our time and our talents and our abilities. If we work into this church and He put us into this local church to where He knows what we need. He knows the pastor can't do it all. He knows the deacons can't do it all. He knows the leadership can't do it all. He knows that. And if you ever want to do what God wanted you to do, we would see this church on fire and this church moving for the glory of God. And I'm not going to quit preaching until that happens. You say we'll get another preacher? Well, you take whatever God sends you, you're in trouble, I tell you. He'll be far worse than I am. Number two, every believer is born of the Spirit. Every believer is sealed of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. The seal took place at conversion. And we should be the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Who is the sealer? God is the sealer. The Holy Spirit is the seal. He is the seal. Who, God, has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. God sealed us for Himself by the Holy Spirit. So the seal is the Holy Spirit of promise. And this is the seal that cannot be broken. It cannot be broken until the day of redemption. I'm signed, sealed, and delivered as far as God is concerned. And it gives me what? Gives me, it shows my, and signifies ownership. Shows and signifies security. Shows and signifies identification and authenticity of a fact and the finished transaction. And so I'm born of the Spirit, sealed of the Spirit, and given an earnest of the Spirit, the pledge that God will fulfill what He has promised. So every believer is baptized into the body of Christ, that is the church. And Ephesians 4 said when He led captivity captive, what did He do? He gave gifts unto men, and He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some pastors and teachers. For what? For the edification of the church, to build up the church, to encourage the church, to strengthen the church. And I am a gift to this local church. And we are gifts. These men who teach and handle the Word of God are gifts to this local church. And the way you treat God's gift is what you think of the one that gave the giver. Gave the gift. He's the giver. Oh, my, let me get a hold of our hearts. And we want to perfect and build up the saints. And now I'm at 1 Corinthians 12. That's where my message is. 1 Corinthians 12. The Holy Spirit calls, convicts, converts, and commends each one of us, each member with a gift. We have gifts. The question is, are you what part of the body are you? What part of the body are you? The eye can't say I have no need of the ear, or the ear can't say I have no need of the hand. The hand can't say I have no need of the arm. The mind, the brain can't say I have no need of the fingers. We all need one another. And if we're working together and find out what God has for you and what God wants you to be and wants you to do in the body of Christ, then you'll see this church not crawl but soar like an eagle. Let me show you. The command is, pick up that cup. What did I do? Well, you say your fingers picked up. What picked up the cup? The fingers? No. The hand? No. The arm? No. The shoulder? No. Oh, the mind? No. The eye? If it had been for the eye, I could have never seen it. They all work together in unity, making one another work together so that it be for the glory of God and the salvation of the soul and the exaltation of Christ. So that's the way you ought to work with members in this local New Testament assembly. When you think you know more about it than the Holy Spirit does, then we'll move Him off the throne and put you up there. But we don't. And I say that facetiously. We don't. Oh God, help us to realize that He is all wise. He is sovereign. He is all knowing. He knows what's best. He's the administrator. Now, question is, what part of the body are you? Are you the eye, the ear, the tongue, the feet? And are you functioning as the administrator desires you to function in this local church? You see, Christianity is not a religious system. Christianity is not a religious system. Christianity is a life. The life of Christ. Christianity is a continuation of the life of the resurrected Lord in His body, which is the church. Christ living in me, the hope of glory. And my friends, I want you to know something. Just as Christ ahead of time in His ministry, when He came into the world to fulfill the Father's purpose and plan, and having accomplished His mission, He returned to the Father. So the Holy Spirit has a definite mission and can come into the world, comes into the world at an appointed time at Pentecost, and He is now carrying on His ministry on earth, and in due time He will complete it and ascend back to the Father. But when He does, He's going to take the bride with Him. And His job is to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ, and that's He's working on us and trying to do. And listen, we are His instruments. I remember old Dr. Bob Jones Jr. said to me, he said, "Rod, if everybody is an instrument in the hand of God, I must be a monkey wrench." I said, "What?" He said, "I must be a monkey wrench. I must be the instrument of a monkey wrench or a tool. That must be what I am." He said, I have to deal with all the nuts." So at Pentecost, from that time on, He took His residence on earth in His church. Under the law, the Father came down and speaks to man from Mount Sinai and from the glory from above the mercy seat. Under grace, God the Son came down and suffered and died and raised again to sit down at the right hand of the Father and sent another Comforter. Under the church age, the Spirit of God is here carrying out the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. So He is here, and He alone is the vicar, the administrator of the church. And if the work is done, it'll be done through and by Him. Let me close with this. There's no unimportant member of the body of Christ. Every member has its function to fulfill. The eye is not necessarily contributing more than those that are unseen and unnoticed by the eye. Take the rivet that holds the blade and the handle of a pocket knife and the screw that holds together the two blades of a pair of scissors. While comparatively small, they're not unimportant. But upon these, the two units of the article absolutely depends in order to work in precision and to do the job that it was intended to do. Just a rivet in the scissors or a pin in the knife. Any member of the body of Christ, I read this last night about 12:30, and God really spoke to my heart. Any member of the body of Christ that fails to fulfill its function robs itself, robs the body, robs the head of His lordship. And so, that He might have preeminence in all things, Christ is absolutely needs us, the church. That's the way God has planned it. The head cannot say to the feet, "I have no need of you." He's the head. We all realize that apart from Christ, we are nothing. Severed from Him, we can do nothing. We absolutely need Christ. We are equally clear in our minds, and I say this reverently, that Christ cannot do without us. And that apart from the members of His body on the earth, today He can do nothing. That's the way He has ordained it. Think about the awesome responsibility. If it ever gets a hold of you like it's got a hold of your pastor, you'll never be the same.
We have often heard the parable as to how Christ went back to the glory land, and the angel Gabriel asked him what plan he had made for carrying out his work, and he replied that he had left his disciples, formed it into a church, to carry out his great commission and to tell the good news. And then Gabriel asked him and said, but suppose they fail? Christ is supposed to have replied, and of course this is just a parable, I have no other plan. What an awesome responsibility it is to have the Godhead in the person of the Holy Spirit living within us. Listen to this. Maybe this will help us. Christ has no hands but our hands to do His work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in His way. He has no truth but our truth to help men how to die. He has no help but our help to bring men to His side. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the golfer's creed. The scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message, even in deed and word. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? Christ has no hands but our hands to do His work today. He has no feet but our feet to seek us out who stray. He has no eyes but our eyes to shine with God's own love. He has no lips but our lips to lift man's thoughts above, to which our individual response as we redevote our person and rededicate our powers that we might concentrate us and them anew to His glory. Listen to this. Lord, Thou hast no tongue, O Christ, as once of old, to tell the story of Thy love divine. The story still is strange and sweet as true, but there's no tongue to tell it but mine. Thou hast no feet, O Christ, as once of old, to go where Thy lost sheep in sin and sorrow pine. Thy love is still as strong, as true, as kind, but now Thou hast no feet to go but mine. Thou hast no hands, O Christ, as once of old, to feed the multitude with bread divine. Thou hast the living bread, enough for all. But there's no hand to give it out but mine. And shall I use these ransom powers of mine for things that minister alone to me? Oh, take my tongue, my hands, my feet, my all, and let them live and give and go for Thee. What you and I need to do is to recognize who lives inside of us and what He has given us. Time, talent, gifts, okay. Put us into His church to be used to spread the good news of the Redeemer's love. And if we don't do it and we're not used of the Spirit of God, then it will not be done. Oh, can you imagine only telling 12 to take the good news to all the world? But it could have been done had we followed the plan of the Master, the Master Architect, the Vicar of Christ, the Engineer, the CEO, the Chief Executive Administrator of our church. He has the plan. He knows what is best. He has all the resources. He has them all in place. And He has them here at Tabernacle to do a job. Oh, what could be done? If only. If only.